I want to thank Mickey for allowing and just enjoy and use her house for the service. Like many of you, I've known Sunan for 30 years and some more. And prior to today, I had written maybe three or four things I wanted to say, and I'm not going to use any of them there. So I'm just going to speak a little bit about Sunan, particularly in recent times, some things that may bring you up to date. I want to echo what Mickey said many times over, that the years that I've gotten to know Sunan and share so much with her, the most outstanding thing I learned was how much she loved doing things to help other people.
Okay.
Some of you may know I'm a social worker and a psychotherapist, and I work with conditions and people who suffer all kinds of trauma. And when I met Sunan, I knew instantly. I saw her from the back in a restaurant in D.C. where she was looking at a board to find housing. And I knew instantly she was Cambodian, that she was a little different than most folks, that she had a lot of character, and that she needed a place to live. And ultimately, she came to share a room in a group house that I lived in at that time. And slowly I got to know more about her, that she was studying at Strayer College for her AA, that she was trying many, many different ways to fit in and find a place in the United States. And in the course of that, she made literally thousands of friends. One thing you should know also about Sunan is that if she were here, she could look at those photograph albums and tell you the day of the week and the month and the date which each one was taking place. She studied very, very hard, but a lot of people didn't know this because what you saw was this very gracious, personable, giving person. What you didn't see was the hours and hours of research and trying to understand philosophy and other people that helped her be the person that she was. I didn't know the extent of her work until the last few months. Now, she, over the years, she dedicated herself, as we all know, to many of you and friends and others. And in my opinion, I don't know how she was everywhere, but she was very modest. Money was never an issue with her. She sometimes received gifts and payments for the work she did. I don't think she used hardly any of it for herself. We found checks that were never cashed, you know. That was not her interest. Her primary interest, as Mickey alluded to, was trying to find small, real ways to produce justice. Justice for individuals, to fix something when it was wrong, things that she could manage. And I understand now, better than I did, why this was so important, because there were huge things in her life, in her experience, like many of you here. I've learned in the last 4 months some of your stories, and particularly living and surviving and coming through Cambodia, Southeast Asia, the number of traumas, the extent of the traumas are horrendous and huge. That survival has an impact on everyone. And finding some way to create a life after that was so important to all of you and to Sunan. And that's what she did. She found a way to do it that she could manage. Now, her story hopefully will be written in more detail. I had wanted to talk about some things today because they were so recent, so pertinent, so important. But I think they're a little too detailed, a little too personal right now. But that they will be written. Jim Lurie has known her longer than I have and wrote some things about her when she was a young woman in Phnom Penh and how she got to the United States. and the story is fascinating. And you know, I've known her since, and the details and the so forth goes on. But there was a mystery in her life. And I will just say that she didn't know the answer to her suffering and her and the mysteries of her early childhood until 3 days before she died. 3 days before she died, she finally opened up enough for herself and made contact with some of the people in her village where she'd been raised as a little girl. And they gave her the answers to questions that she had that had haunted her for so many years and gave her some relief that was amazing at the end of her life. Now, I'd like to just let her speak a little bit for herself. A bad videotape. She didn't like to be videoed. I wanted many times to do her story and video. No, Sanam did not want photographs, except the kind that you saw here. You know, in the photographs of her, you'll see she's smiling. She's having a good time. These are happy photos, okay? Serious stuff, she felt, was too hard. But in the last 4 months, when, I mean, she became sick suddenly. She did not know how sick she was. There was no evidence, no sign. There should have been, but there wasn't. And so suddenly life changed for her. And she did then start talking about things that she had never talked about before. So what you'll see in a second is a very short, just something from her. It's about something that's important to her. This is during the maybe the first month when she was really thin and in bad shape. She, you know, and I hope it's you can understand what she's saying. Her voice had been damaged by the tubes and so on. But this is from the heart. Okay. And we may have technical difficulties here for a minute. But. And make sure the volume's up. It worked before, so be patient.
I go by the sea, you know, to the seashore, to Kampong Yang, to Kampong.
She's talking about her older sister. What?
I will not forget that. But sister, I miss her. And I love her dearly. She's 12 years old. I mean, she was born 1936. She and I, we were born at the same animal, but just 5 years apart.
The year of the rat?
Huh?
The year of the rat?
Mm-hmm. And she married that older one that when my mom died, my father stopped her to go to school so she could take care of her. Not me, because I didn't come to the city when she stopped going to school.
You were still at your grandparents?
Huh?
Were you still at your grandparents?
Yeah. My mother died in 1952, okay? I came to the city in 1955. 3 years.
Mm.
Because I don't know how many times my father failed to catch me because I knew I had, I ran away. And he could not find.
So it happened more than once?
Hmm?
It happened more than one time?
I don't know how many times. After he told my father to bring me to the city.
She met her grandfather.
Right.
So your grandfather was the one who took you to the city?
Maybe my father tried to cut the
arrangement.
So he brought me to the city. He left before dawn, something while I was asleep, you know, to travel back to the country, to the riverbank.
Right.
And I was there. In Phnom Penh, so that's why I said he should not.
I can't take care of them. What did you say?
Gave them away. Gave for adoption to somebody who are kind, who don't have children, and will take good care of them.
Right.
You don't teach the children to talk to them.
That's right. That's what you said. Don't, because it's like torture.
Because it afflicts them for the rest of their life.
I know.
Like mom, like me, you know.
Yeah.
When I think of my father, I don't see any kindness. You know that?
I know.
Even though he spent $10,000 to raise me, you know, send me to school, but what is the point? Okay?
I know.
I wish
I
wish I had more happy stories. What I do have will be part of the story when it's written. And I have a tape that we can play later. 1980, when she came to the United States, friends who were very concerned about China and all that was going on wanted to write her book. And so they taped at least 15 interviews we found, and they've been transcribed. And Jackie Chignon, I'm trying to reach, I don't know where she is. Could you find her? Thank you. And the tapes are wonderful because, and this writer, her English is almost better than it is now. I mean, she's so sweet and answering these, telling this tremendous story. And I hope that that story will be available. So one thing I would ask, if you want to know in the future, please make sure you leave your name and address in the guest book, because I don't know, I don't have Sanan's memory and list, okay? And now what I'd like to ask, if anyone else, and please, just take a moment, you know, wants to say something to add to our understanding and our knowledge, and because I'm sure each of us has many, many stories. We're deeply affected by Sanan. And one last thing. What she's referring to there, I didn't want to go into a lot of her details at this point today, but if anyone wants to talk to me in private, in person, you know, I'll be happy to tell you more about her story. Okay. Anyone feel like saying something first? Okay. Can I ask someone?
Right over here, Walter.
What? Nancy? Okay. And then I would like to ask Jim.
Mm-hmm. Say no.
He has information early. Yes, Nancy. Nancy, very close friend.
My name is Nancy Solan. I was a resident in Virginia. So in 1987, I came to resident in Maryland. And I started her from 1987, Sinon. She the one that led me to know all the friends in Maryland. As I know her, she my best friend, always advise me. When I came to Maryland, I don't speak English yet. I learned English, mainly English from Sinon, a spelling or some meaning, something. She always explained to me. Sinon is my best friend. Always, every week, she keep calling me or I keep calling her. Anywhere she want to go or I want to go, me and her always grab together and go. Sometimes we have time eat together. We talk about many things that the past. Even sometimes I work hard, she always advise me work hard more a little bit to make family progress, make family success. When I am have problem, Sinon always there for me. So the last thing that I miss her, I have nobody talk to her, talk to me all the time now. So I feel I miss her so much. My Sinon is my best friend. I always remember in my heart. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mother,
how about the people that
have... Jim knows her from before, so maybe
okay.
He could say something.
That's fine.
I guess I am probably one of the few that knew Sinan when she was in Cambodia.
I met Sinan 40 years ago in Phnom Penh. Sinan was one of the most curious people. You mentioned her education here. She always displayed that wonderful curiosity and intensity to learn and do new things. And I met her at a military briefing in June of 1970. In those days, the Americans had assisted in the overthrow of Prince Sihanouk, and there was a new Khmer Republic that had just come into power in April of 1970. And Sinan was very curious about the new situation, so she showed up to see a friend and to listen to the military briefers in Phnom Penh, as already everybody seemed to know that the war was not going to go too well for the American-backed Lon Nol regime. And I stayed in touch with Sinan through the 70s and up until 1975. I was a filmmaker and a news correspondent. And in 1975, I won't go into all the details of her life at that time. It's very complicated. But she was unsure about whether to leave Cambodia in 1975. She would go back and forth. And finally she said, I will wait until the Khmer New Year. And the Khmer New Year, I believe, was on April the 19th of 1975. Unfortunately, the Pol Pot regime descended on Cambodia 2 days earlier, on the 17th. I was there up until the 11th. On the 11th, I raced to Sinan's house to try to get her on an American helicopter. The U.S. Embassy was evacuating on 11th and 12th of April. Couldn't find her. She was nowhere to be found. Turns out she had gone to stay with a friend, and this is very typical of Sinan. The friend was fearing the Khmer Rouge rocket attacks, which were bombarding the city of Phnom Penh, and said, please, Sinan, can you stay with me to give me some comfort? And so Sinan went there for the night and therefore missed the helicopter evacuation and therefore remained in the city of Phnom Penh. Well, many years later, and what is remarkable about her survival, she was able to survive, and Walter has done some work on how she was able to survive. She was able to survive in a small village on the Basak River. And when the Vietnamese took over in January 1979, she was liberated, if you will. She then wrote a letter to me in which she asked for help in getting out of Cambodia. At which point I was making a film. I went into Cambodia with friends like Don Luce and other people. We worked hard to get to Hun Sen, who's now the premier of Cambodia, who was then the foreign minister, to give her a laissez-passer to allow her to leave. And I flew her to Singapore. And then she came to Washington. And fortunately, she met Walter when she got here, so she had somebody who would take care of her in the years that follow. But my celebration of Sinan is as a person of constant curiosity, great strength, survival, and I think we should remember her as much as possible in that context.
Thank you.
In the way he describes it, there's a new movie coming out called True Grit, and that's what I think Sinan had. Yeah. The people that had her as a babysitter, could someone speak? Thank you.
My name is Jeff Genser. Most of my family is here. Sinan worked with my wife in the mid-1980s and watched my daughters looking through those photo albums has been both sweet and painful, because we all know what we're missing. I think Walter's comments and Nancy's comments and Jim's comments are very well taken. Sinan was the most hopeful person we ever knew. She lived every day as if she was in celebration. She was an extraordinary friend to us all. We will miss her terribly. Thank you.
The boss? Steve? No? Anybody? Okay. Thank you.
Probably the Cambodians in back, but the Pol Pot came to power with help from this country throughout his horrendous reign. The child that he apartheid, when secretly we were supporting the government I'm talking about. And that was the case with the Pol Pot regime. Congressman was one of the champions of the time, and I just think that people should live, Americans should know this, because it's part of the history.
Thank you for reminding us.
Could I say a little something?
Yes.
Yeah, add something. Jen talked about True Grit and the survival. Just to give you an example, because Sinan amazed me all the time. When she would miss the plane out of Phnom Penh, she knew she was in trouble. I mean, she in her tapes, she would talk about the bombing and all the rest. It's just like a normal thing, a terrible but a normal thing. Nobody knew how horrendous the Khmer Rouge, the Pol Pot regime was going to be. But she didn't want to leave her friends. And one thing most of us know who knew Sinan was that when she felt strongly about something, she could be very stubborn. Yeah. You could not get her to do something she did not want to do. Even if it was the right thing, she would have to say no, and then eventually she'd come around and figure out a way to do it anyway. That was Sinan. So there she was, stuck in Phnom Penh, and most of the city is emptied, and she's hiding out in her apartment for 4 days. And the guns are everywhere, and there's a knock on the door, and they're breaking it down, and they're going to shoot her. And what does Sinan do? We know she survived. She talks the Khmer Rouge soldiers into not killing her. She told them she just had an operation and she has to go back to the hospital 3 blocks away. And will they please help her carry her suitcases? 4 of them. With her photographs, some of the things we have here. With the documents, with her airplane ticket, with her jewelry. And here are the Khmer Rouge soldiers walking down the street of the empty city with Sinan leading them to the hospital with 4 suitcases. She gets to the hospital and they leave her there. Now the doctors and nurses are all gone and this is the chaos, right? There are the patients and there's nothing to treat, no one to treat them except themselves. Now eventually, and the history as Lou was alluding to is so complex, we could have 20 days on the history and complexity and all of that. But one of the complexities was, I understand, they're experts here better than I, there were 3 different factions of the army in Phnom Penh, and it depended where you were, where they were really vicious or not. And apparently one of them wasn't so bad, they figured, let's put the patients on a truck, and they sent them to the countryside. So Sinan, with her 4 valises and a whole bunch of patients, going off to the countryside. Well, the truck breaks down, and you got to walk, and somebody stole 2 of her valises, right? Fortunately, she saved 2, and they're the ones that she had all her papers and documents and everything in. And this is again and again the story of Sinan's survival. So, okay. I hope somebody else will. Maybe somebody could say something about more recent times. Okay, please. Yes.
Hi, I am Vanna. I've been here 6 years, but I know Sinan very clear because she have been. Before I came here, my parents came here and didn't speak English. So she's the only one who know everybody in Cambodia community and know how to apply all the medical, everything. So she was recommended by someone and came to my family, and my dad, that time, he had a stroke. So he lost his memory, like half of them, and my mom doesn't speak English, and all my siblings, they go to work, so nobody can help to do all the paperwork for my dad. So only Sinan, she came at the right time and do everything And my mom really lucky to have her, to know her as a friend. And when I arrived here, I mean, even I can speak English little, but she's the one who guide me, everything, recommend me to all friends. And she recommend me to, she's like my sister, Ganita, to apply to get a job in the United States. So without her, I may not get a job over there. And without her, you know, my mom and my dad want to get all the documentation, best person in my family.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Well, I'm sure we'll share our stories privately. It might be a little easier to do that. She obviously meant so much to all of us, and she showed us how to give and how to be selfless. And I think that's her legacy here. Look how many people were affected by her life, and how many people can say that. So thank you for coming. Please talk among yourselves. Stay as long as you would like. Look at the photographs. Have something to eat. And I thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.